Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
Night three of the NBA, opening night number three, where we've had some pretty surprising eyebrow-raising results so far, which we'll get to. The complete NBA 75th anniversary team was announced today.
Yeah.
And I love this story because in no other sport besides the NBA do players care so deeply about getting on the team. They care so deeply about getting on the team. So much so that guys are put on the 75th anniversary team that are midway through their careers. Right? Damian Lillard is midway through his career. He's on the 75th anniversary team. He's not. So does that mean he's going to be number one by the time his career is halfway done?
Did they keep Kyrie off because he wasn't vaccinated?
Team. Oh, buddy, too soon for that, man. That's a hot take. That's a hot take.
Well, but I mean, you immediately went to having Damian Lillard on it.
That's a hot take.
Kyrie's done a lot more in his career, has he not?
That is a
I'm just
hot,
asking
hot
a question.
Take. No, I'm just saying. No, you're buddy, I think, you know.
Why does Giannis get to vote?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I'm looking through the voters. Bob Costas, has he done anything to, you know, disparage the NBA like he hated the other sports that he's covered through the years? Yeah, I said it.
I mean, and look at Giannis, right? Okay, look, Giannis is terrific, right? Is Giannis, he does everything he needs to do to prove what a superstar he is, wins the championship, scores 50 points in the deciding game. Giannis is terrific, and obviously, but the guy's 26, and yep, you know what? 75th anniversary team all time. Let's put him on there.
I expected him to be on the 100, but there he is right off the jump. So cool. Hey,
26
he's
years
in.
Old. He's on the top 75 already. But he's only played. Doesn't matter. He's on the list. Still playing. Doesn't matter. He's on the list.
I really want to go back to the all 50 because I haven't done this yet. How many guys got left off this time around? Or, you know, those are the debatable ones, right?
Yeah, look,
guys
you have
86 from those lists.
Klay Thompson, who again is midway through his career and has missed 2 years with Achilles injury. Hey, I feel like I should be on the top 75 list. Wait, come on, really, man? Really, come on. You guys are insane. They care so much. Stars care so much about this. They care so much
about
this. Yeah, but
this is another
top 75.
Buddy,
of all
this
time.
Is another inscription on those autograph appearances and trading card insert sets and whatever else. That's a lot of money out of their pockets.
Mm. Hey, you know, James Harden has been great. How old is he? 32. Put him on the list. Put him on.
He's still got
a few years left. No, put him on the list. I mean,
James is there. Anthony Davis is there.
I mean, just
Anthony Davis
that.
Is there.
AD on the list. You know, is he 30? No, but put him on the list. Oh yeah, because AD is. I laugh at this list. I absolutely laugh at this. Not that these aren't players that someday you could say, yes, here they are, the 75th anniversary team. But just the fact that you are taking players who are still playing is ridiculous. That's why this is so much. So this is not really the best. But this is, hey, how do we pump the game? Because look at all the current players that are on this list. Look at all the guys that have played just a handful of years that are on the list. This is not a true list of the top 75 people. You have some guys who had their complete careers who got left off, which I understand. You can debate guys like Vince Carter, who we saw his entire career, right? You can debate guys like Adrian Dantley, who you've seen his entire career. You can debate those guys. But let's put all these people on, all the superstars of now. What Russell Westbrook, what is he, 32? Oh, people don't like him. Put him on the list. He's one of the top 75 of all time, but nobody likes him. How can the Lakers win a title with Russell Westbrook? No, but they got three of the top 75 all time players. Of course they're supposed to win. I really just think about how this list doesn't make sense.
All right,
just think about it.
So all 50 off of the NBA 50th anniversary team got in. So then it's 25 players over the last 35 years. Okay. Or no, 25 years. I'm sorry. Over the last 25. See, now I'm adding 10 just for giggles. Over the last 25 years, you got 11 guys that are active. And I understand, like, hey, Carmelo Anthony, he's at his end. Like, his career is what it is. The only thing that would be different is if he won a title. So you decide, is he in or is he out? LeBron James, fine. We're talking about all-time greatness. So be it. Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, okay. But Kawhi, I guess Chris Paul, because he's always on those top five lists. People love those top five lists. But you have 11 active players. I just don't understand Giannis. Like, he and Lillard are the two guys, and Anthony Davis, I think we mentioned those three. Add Russell Westbrook, but with all the triple-doubles, I guess, if you're taking guys from the last 25 years, you'd say he makes the list off of that. Instead of revisiting guys from, you know, yesteryear, I guess. Pretty amazing.
I mean, look, it's much more of a PR move for the league, so they can say, look, we're celebrating the top 75, that we're not just trotting out a bunch of people who are going to wave and are stooped in older age and are going to remember, well, the game was great when I played. No, let's make sure we put all the big superstars now on, because stars who don't get on are going to be upset, and we want to celebrate the guys we have right now. And again, I'm not saying guys like Giannis and AD aren't going to be on the list when it's all said and done. But real, so if Giannis stopped playing right, 75 all time, 26 years old, yep, what a top 75.
Well, he won
all-time.
That title, it's ridiculous. He gave us those great things about being a freak on the court. Made us some great sound bites. So he's entertained us there.
I mean, it's just a say. Let's spotlight all the good guys in the league right now, and players. And I love the fact all the players who are going to not make it that are going to be really pissed.
Oh,
off.
Sure.
Not just Klay Thompson. You know, how am I not? I don't understand. I have to think I'm on that list, dude. Come on, man. I mean, just stop for a second, okay? You're a good shooting guard, all right? You're a really good shooting guard, right? That's kind of what you do. That's kind of your thing, all right? And yeah, okay. Steph Curry's got to make the list because everybody loves Steph Curry. He's going, okay, great. But, you know, this can't be the top 75 players all time. 60 of them are all playing now. I mean, they may as well do that with the list. Who's on the list? Well, everybody playing now, and Patrick Ewing and Oscar Robertson and Will Chamberlain. Who else? No, that's it. That's it. Everybody else is playing now. Those guys are on the list.
Gotta
Magic
say,
Johnson not on the list? No, Magic's not on the list. But Damian Lillard's on the list. He's there. Don't worry about it.
At the voting panel. Marv Albert. And Steve Kerr, Michael Jordan, I could just see him. I took that personally. So that guy's not in. He didn't. I want to see who he didn't vote for. That they said, no, these guys are all kind of rubber stamped here, Michael. Nope, not on my list. go on down the line. But Ahmad Rashad is one of your voters. In Rewind, one of the great Saturday morning TV shows, back when you needed extra highlights, Robert Parrish voted on this. So you got a pretty big voting panel. Like it's all PR and trying to show some love, create some new merch and opportunities. But I think we all kind of had a laugh, right, when the tweet started going out and all the social media pushed, like, all right, and on the 75th anniversary, oh, there's Michael Jordan. Okay, I was worried about that one. And then when the Carmelo Anthony went up, I had to text you and Frostberg immediately. It's like, our guy made it.
Yeah.
And Frostberg replied, he goes, well, it took him to get to the Lakers for people to realize what kind of career he had.
Well, hey, let's be honest. Melo's at the end. Like, guys like Melo and LeBron, okay, we've seen most of their career.
No, but that's just it. Yeah, they're done.
But Melo's going to end being one of the top five scorers in NBA history, man. I mean, Melo's not, he's going to end up being a top five all-time NBA scorer. So, yeah, Melo's going to be on that list. I get it. But the number of people who are on it who are still playing, I mean, really, that's the thing about the NBA. The players in the NBA are so vain, and they care so much about what people say about them. Even people they don't even know, what voters want to vote, what writers say. You know, some of them love Ahmad Rashad right now. Some hate Ahmad Rashad right now. I bet you didn't vote for me, Ahmad. All of these, they care so much about things like this. And to see this list and say, this is why they're on it, right? Because everybody voting doesn't remember the NBA, you know, before 2000. Well, I've heard the name. I heard, you know, Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson and, you know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And other, but let's put all the guys who are playing now on the list. Oh, okay. Let's do that. Damian Lillard, really? You could say Damian Lillard's one of the top 75 players all time. Really? He's one of the top 75 players?
I mean, not that I've made my own top 75 list yet. The way I threw the yet in?
Yeah. But I mean, but the thing is that he is on the list, and he's played half his career. So what he has done with the half of his career is so unbelievably impressive that he's one of the top 75 players to play all time.
Yeah. It's I guess we start going into our history lesson, start breaking it down by position and all of that fun stuff. I don't really feel like doing that deep dive because I got Dodgers, Braves, and I have Steph Curry putting up 18 in the first quarter against the Clippers. So, I mean, we have live action here. We'll save the list for another day.
And let's count them down. Here's the 75 players, 75 to 65.
I'm going to do that over the holiday week. We're going to take a week off, and we're just going to tape a whole run of shows of lists. Here's five guys I didn't like against my team.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Now, before we get on, the football game is now completely over.
Yeah.
The Browns beat the Broncos 17-14. They hold on to win. It was a big night on the ground. And if you picked him up in fantasy and started him, hey, D'Ernest Johnson, he had some kind of night. He was having an okay night. Hey, he's got 80 yards. That's a pretty nice night. Yeah, you know, hey, picked him up. You know, got to have somebody. Got to start a Browns running back. He finishes with 146 and a touchdown for the Browns as they, without Baker Mayfield, beat the Broncos 17-14. All right, now going forward, there's two different angles to go here. You know, the Browns area and the Broncos. With the Browns, they have sort of bought themselves another couple of weeks of figuring things out because the pressure for the Browns this year is immense because their window to win is really just this year. Right, most teams, when their window opens, we have a young team, everybody's sort of coming together, we got a rookie quarterback on his rookie contract, you have years to figure it out. No, this Browns team is going to have mega questions if they can't win, if they can't succeed to a high level this season. You have Baker Mayfield going into the final year of his contract with a lame duck situation. Hope that he's got to play great. And at this point, is Baker Mayfield, if he has a bad year, stays injured, can you really still think he is the solution? Look, I liked him. I like him more than most people do because of the way the Browns have built their team. He's the perfect quarterback for this team. But in the end, when there's injuries, you need your quarterback to win you some games, and Baker Mayfield hasn't done that enough. So you have that big question. Are you going to keep Odell Beckham Jr.? All right, is he going to go? You're going to have big questions on defense as well because, hey, let's go in on these guys to make our defense better. And when you play teams that aren't good offensively, the defense plays well. When they play teams that can score points, the defense plays badly. So it's really a middle-of-the-pack defense. And this team that I picked to go to the AFC Championship game, my pick looks a little bit better now because they're 4-3, but still looks pretty bad. This is a this year window for the Browns. And then it's, hey, if things don't go right, then there's all kinds of questions going forward. That's the pressure on the Browns this season.
Yeah, when we look at Baker Mayfield, there have been a couple of instances that they needed to come up big in big moments and against these better teams, and it hasn't happened. Right, the run game now, D'Ernest Johnson comes in. 7 carries, 52 yards on that final drive, Jason. 5:17 left on the clock after the touchdown from the Broncos. They took the kickoff and never gave the ball back. And they ran it down their throats. No Von Miller in the heart of the defense took care of it. So, you know, maybe you could buy a few games and maybe Baker heals. Maybe that's the case. But is he the guy that is he can carry us? Quarterback, no. He's a guy that's along for the ride, and you need him to be efficient. And he can make throws. I'm not saying that because I don't think the receiving corps is that good, right? You know, Hooper shows up, and his biggest play was he recovered a fumble that wasn't ruled down by contact inside the two was Case Keenum. But David Njoku's just a guy. Odell Beckham Jr., once in a while, you see a flash, but they're few and far between. Jarvis Landry played tonight. He's hurt again. So you've got a whole offense and obviously the two running backs being hurt. You have no idea what this team's going to look like coming out of the year. Some of them have 3-4 year deals that have already been signed, right? You built your core and your offensive line. You've paid a number of those components right now. But depending on how these next 4 to 6 weeks go, you might be in a position where you're able to draft one of these quarterbacks. Even though you don't love the class, you might be in the market. Because, right, Pittsburgh's going to move on, but the organization's from Ben Roethlisberger, but the organization stands strong. Joe Burrow and company, we've talked about how much you love at least the core there going forward. And then Baltimore just reloads. Even when they look like they're hurt because they lose all their running backs, guess what? they get to turn back the clock and three guys have big games in a spotlight game against a would-be contending Chargers squad. So for Cleveland and for Baker Mayfield, like by default, he may end up losing out here just by virtue of the circumstances around him. It might not even be the personal evaluation as much as a keeping up with the Joneses and needing a bigger arm.
You know, and just think about this for a second, right? We said last night, look, if Case Keenum shows up and he goes 350 and four touchdowns, he's got to keep the job because you need this team to be more dynamic because you've lost a lot of dynamic players. Odell Beckham Jr. is no longer dynamic. Mm-hmm. Your running backs, your top two running backs are both hurt, and Jarvis Landry is just coming back from injury. You need something else because you need that spark. And it's not that Case Keenum did that. He threw for 200 yards and a touchdown. Okay, you know, it's fine, but the Browns were able to control the football. They got a lot on the ground from D'Ernest Johnson, and the Browns win. You can now slow play Baker Mayfield's return because here's Case Keenum thrust into the starting job, and he played pretty well. I mean, again, this is not where Keenum came in and went crazy and lit up the scoreboard, but without a lot of reps, he has come in on a short week and played pretty well. So now you have not a decision to make, but you have an alternative to Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield, your shoulder's injured. You got a couple of injuries there that you're dealing with right now. Okay, take your time. Take your time. Let's see how the team responds with another week to go and a long practice week and Case Keenum getting all the reps and getting more chemistry with his receivers. Let's see what happens here because we've watched Case Keenum do that in the past. Right, you know, everybody remembers with the Vikings a couple of years ago how great he was when he looked like he was going to be the Ryan Tannehill after years of bouncing around the league, or at least a Ryan Fitzpatrick where he can find some kind of home. It looked like, hey, he's going to be Minnesota's big quarterback, right? Through 22 touchdowns and 7 picks. Boy, he was good, but then he goes to Denver. He's just meh. He goes to the Washington football team. He's even less meh. Now he's backing up in Cleveland. Now he's getting his chance again. Right, you know, at 33, it's kind of along that line of a Nick Foles or Fitzpatrick type where, hey, once in a while you can catch lightning in a bottle with a guy and he might be the best guy for your team quarterback-wise going forward. It doesn't mean he's a better quarterback. It, just like when Nick Foles was playing and Carson Wentz was playing for the Eagles, it didn't mean that Foles was better than Carson Wentz, but for whatever reason, the team was functioning better with Nick Foles at quarterback. And if the Browns function with Case Keenum at quarterback, you kind of have to let him do his thing for a while and say Baker will get you back in when things are apparent. And that could be one bad game from Case Keenum. It could be an injury, it could be ineffectiveness from the offense overall. It could be a few things. But if you're the Browns, you have bought yourself a little bit of time. You haven't made any decisions easier, but now you have alternatives to what do we do with all our playmakers hurt. Case Keenum comes in a short week. We play well. He throws for 200 and a touchdown. We get a big day running the football. We have Odell Beckham catching a couple of passes. Jarvis Landry is just coming back. Hey, let's see how things go for a little bit with Case Keenum at quarterback.
Yeah, Landry did pull up after a catch, his fifth of the day. So we'll see what his is going forward, but in his availability, I should say. But when we look at the report that Jay Glazer
Hello.
Will join us in a bit, has, you know, we'll talk to him in a few minutes as they wrap up their post-game show and everything. At Jay Glazer on Twitter before the game, it was his report that you have a fracture called tuberosity, top of the humerus, and once that heals, he can come back. And while he's hoping to come back for the next game, the question is how fast does he heal? How much, you know, actual pain? What's the pain tolerance in all of this? He was on the sideline, certainly cheering them on and helping to signal things in and coordinating with Case Keenum about what he was seeing. But now it's a, all right, you've got a torn labrum, you've got this fracture. Is it better for everybody to just, not that you want to get Wally pipped at any point in your career, even for a short time, but is it better to try to let him heal a bit? Does that change, you know, his ability to follow through on throws, zip on the ball, even if it is the non-throwing arm that you're worried about here, that it all plays together, right? All in unity, all in harmony. And so now you got a guy in Case Keenum, veteran that you brought in. Why? Because he's a capable veteran. He's been there a couple of years. He knows the system, knows the principal figures around it. So, yeah, I think you don't fix it if it ain't broke. Not to go at him and his broken, you know, body right now. But you had a win against the Denver squad. Again, no Von Miller, but you ran the ball effectively. And when it counted, you were able to get behind that offensive line and roll it. And really, they kind of played the same way they do with Baker Mayfield. Run the football, don't make mistakes, and try to get a defensive stop. And that's what they did tonight.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Browns beat the Broncos 17-14 on TNF. Joining us now to break it all down, our friend. He's on Twitter, at Jay Glazer. That is at Jay Glazer, NFL on Fox Insider. Jay, what's happening, man?
Oh, man, doing great, man. I'm just driving to the airport with my Uber driver, Howie Long, and he just raised his Uber rating as we're speaking. Howie, just pay attention to the road. Pay attention to the road, Howie. Just pay attention to the road.
I can't believe he let you in the car. He didn't pull up, see it was you, and then just keep going.
That's what I'm saying.
Hi, Howie.
Say hi, Howie. Hi, guys.
All right.
Yeah. This is God's way of balancing things out. It can only be so good. I have to drive him to the airport.
Why are you not live streaming this? This would break the internet.
Oh no, we're on Howie's Instagram Live account. You guys haven't seen that? Oh yeah, no. Huge. At Herman Munster. Just go to at Herman Munster.
Now that's family right there.
He is. Absolutely. No doubt.
Yeah, what a game, though. The Cleveland Browns, all these injuries, your pregame report on Baker Mayfield that just set the world on fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, what it is, when the labrum prevents your shoulder from popping in and out, when it popped out last week, according to Baker, popped out, and then the top of that, basically the joint there, right, and that had fractured. So he said, I've got to wait for that. So it's the very top of the humerus. The humerus is basically where you're the top of your arms. Okay, but the very top of that is your shoulder that goes into that joint, that ball and socket. So that's fractured. And he says, I've got to make sure that gets healed before I come back in. I said, I'm trying as much as I can, to make sure I get back there for next week. And I'm like, wow, that's Baker's tough. We all know that. And for him to even just play with a torn, labrum, that's one thing. And then you have that shoulder dislocated. And he said, because of this, until that bone heals, he said basically just his shoulder just isn't firing. His rotator cuff just isn't firing. So he's got to get that thing stabilized and healed up. So, look, Baker is thinking in his mind, I think he's the eternal optimist that he's just going to be able to get right back out there. But you really don't know. It's all in the timeline of that bone. When that thing heals up.
He's reading this right off of WebMD.
Hey, he does his research.
I do these reports all the time. These guys kill me because I come on all the time. I'm good with my medical stuff. I'm great. I stayed at the Holiday Inn Express last night. I know what I'm talking about.
Sanjay Gupta.
Sanjay Gupta. Howie, I don't think you're going to get a good Uber rating. I don't think Jay's going to give you a good rating.
Right. Hey, just pay attention to the road, okay, driver? That's right. 2 stars for you.
It says on Uber that both parties should treat the other party the way they'd expect to be treated themselves. I'm just saying that's
we definitely are.
When I retired and I thought, God, what's the future going to be like? This is where I saw myself.
Oh my goodness!
See, you guys never saw this out of Howie Long, did you? You see that?
I always knew he was snarky, funny, but yeah.
I bring out the loving people, right? Everybody, the world is my locker room. There you go. Howard Long, everybody, he's going to be performing this week in Arizona after he drops me off. We're gonna we're gonna go clubbing tonight, aren't we? Yeah, we're going out clubbing tonight. I don't. We're gonna go out clubbing tonight, Howie and I. We're good with that.
That escalated quickly.
Yeah. No.
I'm the only athlete in Los Angeles who's never been to a club.
Howie, when Jay says he's going clubbing, it means he's going clubbing and you're going to be the driver. Just so you know, that's what Jay means.
I'll tell you where I'm going is home. I don't know where he's going, but I'm going home.
Well, the club is coming with you home.
There you go. It's club dub, just like the Bears a couple of years ago. The disco ball drops when you walk in, I'm sure, Howie.
Jay just starts calling people to come over to Howie's. Oh, my goodness. Jay Glazer and Howie Long with us, and also Dr. Sanjay Gupta from WebMD, also here on the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. All right, Jay, you know, we've been hearing the stories all week. You had bits on this, obviously. Where do things stand with this situation of Deshaun Watson, the Dolphins, a potential trade? Where are things right now?
Man, I think they're, you know, nothing right as of this moment, because it really is kind of going like a hour by hour, day by day. And, you know, I thought it was going to happen a couple weeks ago. I just knew that those two teams were talking. Like, originally, this is the timeline. I mean, Houston at first in camp wouldn't even take anybody's calls. They weren't responding to anybody at all. And then they started at least responding to texts. Is their GM, Nick Cassero, just wanted to get back anybody. I think at first they thought maybe he's actually going to play first. And then when they realized, all right, that's not going to happen, he's not going to do that. But just the way they've kind of played it also, they're not being active. They're just waiting for people to call them. They're not saying, okay, all right, we have, you know, this team offering this, and then calling around those other teams you know don't need a quarterback, saying, hey, it's this now. You know, the normal trick, the way you do, you know, if you're trying to build things up, okay, look, Miami, you know, like call Philadelphia. Miami's offering this now. Would you guys do more? You know, Carolina, they were in it. They used to be in it. They're not out of it anymore. But – you know, it's just kind of weird how they've done it. Denver, which was looking for a quarterback, they've never even responded to Denver. So it's just like, it's kind of odd how they've gone about it. It's always been like, all right, Miami or nothing. When other teams, you know, if you call and continue to just try at least on your end, you know he's not going to be there. Try and build up as much trade interest as you can, and they just haven't done that.
You can follow him on Twitter at Jay Glazer. That is at Jay Glazer. Don't forget, party at Howie Long's tonight, 1313 Mockingbird Lane. Whoa. Is the address. Howie's going to have drinks and all kinds of stuff ready and food. It's going to be a big blowout. Just show up. Jay says everybody is welcome.
Absolutely, baby. Hey, just Howie would say goodbye, but he's too busy. I'm making sure he's focusing on the road, because I want my driver just focusing on my safety.
That's how to get a great Uber rating.
All love, fellas. Thanks so much.
Take it easy,
guys. See you guys.
Be safe. How do you like that?
That was
special
outstanding.
Guest star, Howie Long.
I'm on Instagram Live at Herman Munster. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
That's family, right? Yeah. Jay says it all the time. I mean, there's a shining example of it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Let me ask you this now. So we just watched tonight the Denver Broncos in a close game with the Browns, right? We talked about the Browns and everything that went on. I want to throw this scenario by you on a scale of 1 to 10, how much you would love it, okay? If 1 means you hate it, 10 means you'd love it more than anything else in the world.
Okay, cool.
You ready?
Yeah.
All right. The Browns win, and the Broncos offense was meh. Clearly, you have weapons there. All right? Look, Melvin Gordon, you know how functional he is as a running back, what he does. He gets in the end zone. He's fine. All right? And you have Javonte Williams, who could be a future stud. They really like him. They got a pretty good running game all set. You have weapons at receiver and Cortland Sutton, who is healthy. Noah Fant is a really good tight end, right? You still have
Judy's
Tim Patrick.
Coming back.
You're getting Jerry Jeudy on the way back, and you just watch Teddy Bridgewater go, 187, couple of touchdowns a pick, and the Broncos really could mount nothing. They had two touchdown drives in the second half, and that was it. They have given away a big start, and they went into this season thinking for some reason, hey, we can get by with Teddy Bridgewater and or Drew Lock, and they go with Teddy Bridgewater, and it's like Vic Fangio and his defensive acumen is now a wet blanket over the entire organization where nobody's playing offense well. You beat three of the worst teams in the NFL. Then you play teams that are not bad, and you've lost to all of them to go to 3-4. If I'm John Elway, I just say screw it. And I find a way ahead of the trade deadline to call. And if I can't do it now, it could be for the end of the year. And I say, look at the team we have built right here. We're always going to have a pretty good defense. Look at the weapons we have right now. Two good running backs, three good receivers, a good tight end. Who doesn't want to come here? Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, whoever wants this gig, you guys can have it. We want you here now. We'd love to do something now, but if it doesn't work, okay, let's wait, and we can do it after this year. Because if you're Denver, I don't know how you went into this situation thinking this is going to work. We're going to be a big-time playoff team. The Panthers wanted to start over at quarterback, so they got rid of Teddy Bridgewater for Sam Darnold. What does that tell you? The Jets wanted to start over at quarterback, so they got rid of Sam Darnold. So the Jets get rid of a guy who a team brought in who got rid of a guy that they didn't want because they wanted a guy another team got rid of. How do you think that's going to work? You need to go big game hunting, and your team is ready to rock, right? You got everything you need. You need that quarterback in the middle. And when you get there later in your career, just look at what it did for Peyton Manning the last 4 years he was there. Now, Peyton proved he was done the last year. But before then, 50 touchdowns, getting more zip on that fastball in the mile high air, 10 more yards probably on every throw. This is the place to go. Denver was interested in Aaron Rodgers in the offseason. I go back to that again and say, what do we need? What do we need? Now, the Packers aren't going to do anything now, obviously, and neither are the Seahawks, but you want to fire that bullet and say, hey, okay, we want everybody to know, hey, let's figure something out now for the offseason. When everybody know we are going for one of you guys in the offseason. Whoever wants it, we'd love to have either of you. I'd probably want to have Rodgers a little bit more than Russell Wilson just because of the fit for that offense. There's certain teams that think Wilson would be better fit for. Like if Wilson took over for Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh, that would be a much better fit for him than it would be Aaron Rodgers with Pittsburgh, where Rodgers can just, you know, lay back and fire because he has all the weapons to use. So I think there's a couple of different fits there, but certainly Wilson could make it work in Denver. But either of these guys, that's where I go. I say screw it if I'm John Elway, and I just tweeted out, I don't care about tampering. It's the trade deadline. We can make phone calls. Aaron, Russell Wilson, we need one of you guys for next year, and I'm going to move heaven and earth to make it happen.
And then I try to go after you for tampering.
It's the trade deadline. You can make a phone call. You can make a phone call.
You got to ask permission first. And then really? You can recruit all you want. You know what's going to matter? Not at all, because both those teams are going to say, beat it. They're okay. Under contract to us.
Right, and that's fine, because it's not going to happen now, obviously.
No, even but in the offseason, it's the same thing. We're going to have a repeat of the offseason of 2021.
But at least you know going in, okay, hey, they made it known at the end of October, beginning of November, how badly they wanted me. Okay, let's see if this can happen now. Now the end of the season comes. I've been thinking about it, looking at that. Boy, Jerry Jeudy looks good coming back from that injury. All these things happening.
Right, but the Packers still have to trade him.
Let's go make that
happen. And going in and saying, pretty please, the Broncos really like me, is not exactly going to have the Packers going, well, you know what, we really should do Aaron this solid because he really likes them. They really like him. He doesn't like us very much. Is he under contract to us? Yeah. Okay, what's the point? What are we doing? Why are we having this conversation?
Right,
is Aaron bleeping Rodgers?
There's if Aaron Rodgers says, I'm not going to play there anymore. I did this year. Now yeah. I'm not there anymore.
No, that's fine.
And the Broncos could say, okay, Aaron, that's great. If you can't get out, hey, Russ, we like you too, man. Don't think we just like Aaron more than you. No, we like you both equally. This would be fantastic. But you can go get some big quarterback. And I don't mean like Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean get a better quarterback than that. Go bigger for a quarterback. I'm sorry, Garoppolo, you're not invited. You can get somebody bigger than that to come play because that's what you need. That's all that you need on this team. Because watching them tonight and watching Bridgewater try to go down the field 5 yards at at a time. It just doesn't work. I mean, I feel like watching them tonight, it reminded me of the Steelers at the end of the year last year, where every Ben Roethlisberger pass was a 3-yard slant, where it all had to be yak for Deontay Johnson and Juju Smith-Schuster and everybody else. That's the only way we're moving the football down the field, was if we had yak. And we didn't have yak, so, all right, we couldn't win any games the end after we started out 11-0. That was kind of how I was watching Denver tonight, was all the passes were 3 and 4 yards downfield and try to make something happen. You can't win like that.
No, that's the thing. It's a quick release, and then the blocking system downfield, and let's face it, most receivers don't want to do it. It's why we celebrated guys like Hines Ward, even if he was a little bit on the edge, why we celebrated it so much. And there's a number of guys that have that reputation of being able to get after it in that regard, and so many others that don't. So even at the tight end position, right, we've seen that devolve. We have our blocking and sometimes pass-catching tight ends, and then we have guys that are essentially wide receivers. Occasionally, we'll lay you out, so you got to keep your head on a swivel, right? Not to go down that road, because many of our colleagues have lost trying to go to that way. But when we look at this offense, right, KJ Hamler got hurt, right? Another speed option that you would have had, and you're built speed for days. Teddy Bridgewater's not going to push it. Would Drew Lock? Yeah, I think he would take more shots downfield. Would he potentially put the ball on the carpet more frequently by not feeling a rush? Yes, that's why he was not your starter, right? So that in Teddy Bridgewater and he, the interception rates weren't vastly different, but Lock more of a fumbling issue. And then you got a two-headed monster in the backfield, which is, look, Melvin Gordon isn't the guy everybody wanted him to be, but he's still a pretty damn good running back. Right, and when you pair him with Javonte Williams, you've got something there. Hey, look, Vic Fangio costs you as much as any player on the field. All right, let's call it what it is. Week to week, there are some mind-numbingly bad coaching decisions that get made. And in this one, you also lost Von Miller. I would have liked to seen the second half, especially because Denver's offense came out with a little bit of life, right? If you still had him in the middle, unfortunately, he collides with his own man and has to leave. X-ray is negative, but now you're wondering how long he's going to be missing from the heart of your defense, because then you saw De'Ernest Johnson. Who? Yeah, that guy you picked up off waivers. 7 carries, 52 yards to close out the clock and finish off a victory. So, yeah, big time for Denver. And to your point, yes, I think you do try to go make a big push. The question is, will any of these guys be available to you? Or will it be in vain?
If you're going to go anyplace to go play for John Elway, because clearly you're not playing for Vic Fangio. I mean, Elway would say, listen, I'm making all the offensive decisions. Fangio, he doesn't even, he's not even in on the offensive meetings, right?
Well, that's what Bruce Arians said in Tampa.
Yeah.
Goes, I don't go to the meetings. Byron Leftwich runs that. I'm out.
Doesn't even have a key to the room, so he can't even get in. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of you. That's where you go. That's where you go. You're playing for a team where the guy running the team is one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, who knows a thing or two about quarterbacks. Kick Tim Tebow
but does
to the
he really?
To go get Peyton Manning.
Does he know something about quarterbacks?
Well, he's won a Super Bowl. He got the right guy.
He got Peyton Manning!
Yeah, he was able to convince Peyton Manning to come play. Being a recruiter is sometimes the thing you have to do as a team. Hey, I got you the guy. You go make it work.
Yeah, but he was a free agent. Again, he's got to go work with other ownership groups and GMs to acquire one of these big fish.
Listen, maybe John Elway. Elway's big skill is convincing good players to come play for him, not trying to pick who he thinks are good players. Clearly, that's not his strength, but convincing players who are already good to come play for him, that's a big skill. That's what John Elway should do. Let somebody else pick the quarterbacks when you have to pick one, but when a big one comes available, hey, I'll be the guy that closes the deal.
I'm sure he'd be fantastic at it. Mm. I mean, that's why you have a book written about you called A Relentless Life by our friend Jason Cole that you can get on Amazon. I mean, that's what you are if you're John Elway.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.